1 Samuel chapter number 8. I'm going to read just a few of the verses here tonight. Begin in verse number 1. It says, "It came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of the second Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed in the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Father, tonight we ask for your blessing. Oh God, we've asked for your anointing power. Spirit of God, that you tonight would move amongst us. Oh God, tonight, deal with our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When men can no longer listen to God for their instructions, then they must have a type of governor over them. Whether we call him king, potentate, czar, whether we call him president, whether we give him the title of governor, it does not matter. But what we find is that there are in the lives of people that need to be ruled when they will not allow God to rule them. In the Old Testament, as we studied this morning, God gave to us a law. In that law, those Ten Commandments are how we are to behave ourselves with God and with our fellow man. They are the foundation, as we discussed in my class, of all the law that is in the Word of God. And it is the foundation, really, of all laws of mankind. However, when men will not allow the law of God to rule their hearts, then God must give them a ruler to cause them to follow after those laws and dictates. God did not disallow to these Jewish people a king when they asked for it. They wanted somebody to rule over them. But he did make very plain to them the consequences that would follow. If you notice with me, in verse number 10 it says, "And Samuel told all the words of the Lord and the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of all your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." We can make a little application there. I believe it's very clear. When we have government that we want to do these things for us, it is certainly going to cost us something. A very, very plain principle is found here, and that is that people get the kind of government, that they want, or perhaps even better to say, that they need. Notice verse 22, "And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city." And we find, of course, next that Saul has brought to him the next king. He anoints him, and his name is Saul. And we find that he becomes that ruler over them. There are very few people that can live in this world without a governor. They are people who are self-responsible, people who learn how and rely totally upon God as opposed to, maybe say, government. They're not looking to the governor for handouts or bailouts. They're not looking to him to give them the needs of their life. They seek it from God and from hard labor. They don't expect him to give them a new car, or as I heard this week, a new cell phone. They don't apply for food stamps and then complain about Big Brother. They don't turn down work for lower pay because unemployment might pay them better. They take responsibility for their children. They take responsibility for their own welfare. We find, however, in this land of ours, the land of the free and the home of the brave, that it is now pretty much shackled with debt and those who are fearful of what is around the corner. These wanted a king because they didn't know how to be what they ought to be. They didn't know how to be faithful unto God. The requirement of a steward, that is a man be found faithful. And yet these wanted someone to tell their sons and their daughters what they were to do, as we find in verse 11 and verse number 13. Faithful is being self-motivated to do what God wants us to do, to accomplish that which He has set before Him. God wanted them to operate, as I mentioned, on a system of laws, not lawmakers. I don't know about you, but I get excited when Congress is not in session. I get excited when debates get stalled and laws are not made. I'm not sure we need any more. We just need to do the ones that God placed there to start with and be faithful unto Him. Listen, being faithful is being self-motivated to do what God wants us to do, to be in the house of the Lord when He wants us to be there, and to be there when it's in session. You know, when the doors of Open Door Baptist Church are open, it ought to be just exactly that, swinging back and forth as God's people are going in, and then, of course, when it's over, going out. Being there on time, not robbing from others or being robbed of that which God wants you to have. I want to ask you a question tonight. Can you imagine a missionary who decides that because it's a little rough down there that he's not going to go to church? It's just a little hard, and matter of fact, he's just a little tired today, and so he's not going to go to church. He's got a little pain here, so he's not going to go to church. I mean, can you really imagine that? God expects faithfulness, and we need to learn that. And one of the reasons that we are in this position in our land, and what I'm trying to get across tonight is this, we are in this spot of having all of this over us because we've not taken the responsibility and been faithful unto God as a people like we ought to have been. Faithful in doing what ought to be done, by the way, when nobody is watching. Faithful to God in the matters of reading our Bible and studying what the Scriptures have to say about our lives. Faithful in matters of praying and seeking God for the guidance that we so desperately need in our lives. Why is it that people must have a king over them? Because they do not learn to be faithful unto God and faithful to that which He has there for them. I believe another reason is perhaps because they're not decisive. They don't make right decisions. And thus they need to have somebody hold them responsible. They need a governor over them. You know, every morning we make decisions. The first decision we've got to make is getting out of bed. You know, I mean, that's sometimes for some people a very difficult thing to do. But that decision must be made. We get out of bed, we go, I don't know about you, but I head to the bathroom first. There's a couple of reasons for that. And one of those is that I decided I'd like to have an appearance that looks halfway decent for you, and an odor about me that would be pleasant to you. I'm not sure how you wake up in the mornings, but my breath is not exactly what it'd just knock a camel over. And so there's a decision made to seek to have an appearance that's pleasing not only to others but unto God. I mean, we make decisions. We make decisions on what we're going to wear for the day. I don't know about you, but I'm appalled at some of the decisions that people make on what they're going to wear for the day. I mean, it's appalling to me. I've yet to understand why somebody's going to wear a pair of cut-off shorts and an old rotten T-shirt to somebody's funeral. I'm not sure about you, but I think that's disrespectful. God's people ought to be saying, "Amen, preacher, go for it. Get the juggler." It is. It's disrespectful. We ought to understand that. But we make decisions on that kind of thing. We make decisions on what kind of appointments we're going to make for the day. What kind of things we're going to accomplish in that day. We make decisions, by the way, even on the attitudes that we have. Did you know that? I mean, we do. We make those decisions. We can decide to be happy or sad. We can decide. You say, "Well, boy, you don't know my circumstances." Well, the Bible says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." And so we have those decisions that we can make, and we can be decisive in these areas. But they wanted someone else to make the judgments for them. Notice verse number 5 once again. "And they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." We need somebody to make judgments for us. So I say to you tonight, every time you want government to do something for you, remember this: it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Notice verse number 14. "He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive trees or olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants." And we find that that takes place. Understand tonight. Understand very clearly and very vividly. Though we live in what I believe is a wonderful country and live in a situation in a government that at one time was tremendous, there is no freebies. There's no freebies. We talk about free public education. I'm not sure about you, but I just got my tax bill. And about 55% of that goes to public education. And $10,000 a year to educate one child to be a brat is what it's costing us nowadays. And not all children are brats. Please don't misunderstand me. But that's exactly what happens. By the way, did you know the freeway that we travel upon is not free? You've been to the gas pump recently? Do you know today we pay more in taxes than I remember paying for a whole gallon of gas? I mean, in taxes on 1 gallon of gas. But it's what for? It's to pay for the roads and those kinds of things. By the way, I'm not grumbling about that. I'm just saying that you and I, we need to understand that there's a responsibility that comes when we give up those rights unto others. There are no free cell phones. Every time that you and I hear of government wanting to do this or that, it's because we as a whole have rejected God. Go back with me to verse number 5, please, and verse number 7. In verse 5, "Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us." Verse 7, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected" whom? Rejected God, rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God gave us a system of law whereby you and I could reign over ourselves. But we have abdicated the throne. We have given that up and asked others to come in and do it for us. You and I today, as we look at our public candidates, what are we looking for? Who can give us the best deal? Who can help us the most? Who can give me the most that I want in my life? Brethren, let me say something tonight. I'm trying to teach you something on principles of government, and that is we need to be looking for candidates who are not going to do everything for us, but get off our backs. That's the kind of thing that we need today, is those kinds of men and women. By the way, there are a few of those out there. Praise God for that. We need a whole slew more of them. Every time we hear a campaign promise to do more for us, remember it's because we don't want to do it for ourselves. And we are wanting somebody else to do it for us. Make us a king. The cry of these people, what I'm trying to say tonight, is what we cry day in and day out, wanting this, wanting that, wanting the other thing. Government ought to be, in our country, of the people and by the people and for the people, not of some elitists that want to tell us how to do everything. Oh, how we need to understand some principles. We understand another principle tonight is, and that is second generation leadership is generally corrupt. Notice verse number 3. Samuel had been a tremendous leader. He was a judge over Israel. The reason he was a judge over Israel is because the people would not follow the laws of God. And God brought this man on the scene. And he was probably the most godly of all the judges. There was revival under his leadership. They listened to what he had to say. But there came a time when he's walking off the scene and his sons are coming on and he set them up. And as he set them up, we find that they were not as they ought to have been. And second generation is often corrupt in their leadership skills. And that took place with this one. What I'm trying to say there is that we ought to also look at those who become lifetime politicians and seek for some statesmen instead that are going to operate on principle and not for what they can get out of it. For the kickbacks that come, they turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. We see it over and over and over again. There are some, thank God, who are faithful. There are some who are decisive. There are some who stick to principles in their life. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. I want you to remember who told him to do this. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them to the house of the Lord, and the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, Drink ye wine. And they said, We will drink no wine. Notice the colon, explanation coming. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us. To drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." God had Jeremiah used these Rechabites as an illustration. An illustration to a people who had gone away from God, a people who did not allow the law of God to order their life, a people whom were now being thrown back from one government to another, about to be overrun, really, by Nebuchadnezzar and his host. We find that there is this family that has listened to their father, and they have followed his dictates. They have stuck to some principles. They have been faithful. They have been decisive. They have been a people who have, in spite of what is going on around them, have remained true to their convictions. That's what God, I believe, wants out of His people. To operate their lives based upon the law and the principles of God's Word. Not seeking a Savior in government, but allowing God to be their leader. Seeking for the land where they be, government that might allow that to take place. If we go back 250 years ago in this land of ours, we find that we were being ruled by a king. His name was George. And that king was a tyrant. And we read and we can study about King George, and we can find out that basically he wanted to be wealthy at the expense of the American peoples on this soil. And so they were basically taxed and overtaxed. And the people finally said, "We've had enough." There had been, in the days of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards, a tremendous revival. It was in the 1730s. There were literally hundreds of people, perhaps thousands, we could say, that came to know Christ as their Savior. Born out of that particular time were men who grew up with principles in their lives, godly principles. And from those men, we find they had the realization that God needed to be their leader. Thus, on July 4th of 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence and sent that to King George. And they said, "You're no longer our ruler. We're going to depend upon God and allow Him to lead us in how we rule our land." And that's exactly, as we read history, what took place. By God's grace and through God's wisdom being given to men, we had formed these United States of America. Today, we are worse than in the days of King George. We have allowed this to come because we've not listened to the Word of God. We've not ruled in our own lives. We've not stood for principles that we ought to stand for. And so today we have 47% of our country living off of 53%. What a tragedy we are in as a result. Brethren, it's time for God's people to look to God and to seek Him and to order their lives according to "Thus saith the Lord," as opposed to what government says. We ought to obey God rather than man. Amen? I'm not proposing wrong things here. I'm proposing that which is right. One of our states just recently passed a law that said to their people, "You cannot spank your children." the United States of America, where we held the Bible high and where it talks about the rod that is to be used. What's our problem? We've left the laws of God seeking for handouts from government. Seeking for Big Daddy in Washington to take care of us. By the way, there's good things with government. Its biggest responsibility is to protect its citizens from those who would oppress, to protect them from those nations that would seek to war against us, to protect us from those who would seek to destroy us even in our homes. That's its biggest responsibility. But you and I need to learn how to govern our own lives according to the rules and the dictates of the Bible, and not our own whims. How important it is. We live in a very, very scary age. Why is it? We've left the principles of the Word of God. We have sought after a king to heal it all. And to give us what we want. When you go to the polls this year, vote for righteousness' sake, not what you're going to get out of it. Not who's going to pad your paycheck or provide the most services to you. Matter of fact, my suggestion is you find somebody who doesn't want to do all that stuff. Because after all, that's my job and your job. Let God have His way in our hearts and His. I hope you catch and understand the intent of what I'm trying to teach tonight. They said, make us a king. That was not God's will. He gave it to them. And they paid. And then they didn't listen to Him. And so God gave them another one. His name was Nebuchadnezzar, by the way. And others who ruled over them. And even in the days of Christ, there was a Caesar over God's people. Why? Because they wouldn't operate their lives according to the Word of God. And thus allow Him to bless them and to lead them in their lives. Lord, tonight, I pray You'll help us understand the importance of living by the principles of Your Word. Lord, we have allowed government to order our lives as opposed to Your Word. We've allowed our selfishness to rule as opposed to Your Word. Oh God, tonight I pray that You'll help us to begin to see and understand that it's Your principles that must work. Help us to understand, Lord, that even in the government You have allowed here, that we would be good stewards. And Lord, that we would cast our desire according to Your will, not what we can get. Lord Jesus, bless, I pray, work in our lives. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.